Amen. Du bist würdig, du bist würdig. Lasst uns gemeinsam noch singen.
Du bist würdig, du.
Bitten um Bruder Frank.
I'm also greeting all of you in the precious name of the Lord. I welcome all from near and far. We are glad that the winter did not hinder you to come. You all came to hear God's word. Just feel at home, especially all those who are newly added. May I ask, who is here today for the first time? Please raise your hands. Who is here today for the first time? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, be welcome. 7. Blessed and praised be our Lord. We are also greeting all who are now listening and who are watching. And we have also greetings from many brethren from many countries. Brother John from Bucharest is sending regards. Brother Graf from Switzerland. Brother Mbie from the Congo Republic, then the brethren from South America, then from the USA, Atlanta, Georgia, then from Canada, from Montreal, Brother Wallström from Denmark, Brother Daniel from Cape Town, Brother Motika from Johannesburg, yes. And brethren who are spread all over in the various countries, they are sending regards. Then our brother Idoni from Marseille, or from Orléans, he brought us greetings from China. We were invited to come there as soon as possible. God has opened doors in Pentecostal churches. We are just so grateful for all the brethren who are here today. Also Brother Gilbert from Paris, Brother Kupfer, Brother Leonard from Brussels, all the brethren who are ministering with the word, God bless you. Our brothers from Slovakia and from the Czech Republic, Poland, all from Austria, France, Switzerland, yes, from all over Europe. The Lord God, may He be with all of us. May He bless us. May He reveal Himself to us. And may He show us in what time we are living in. What is now really important. I have some announcements here, or some information, which I just want to touch upon very briefly, to show us how the religions and the cultures are uniting, how the peace and the creating process is shaping up before our eyes. Here an article from the Vatican. The German cardinal sees the gulf of the cultures. 1,500 years of separation and of the differences are enough between the Roman Church and the East Church. We see how all these things are taking their course. Mrs. Laura Bush is commenting her audience with the Pope with the words, "As the highest privilege, I had the chance to greet him." The other word, His Holiness, I don't even want to take into my mouth. Then we have the ordination of the dignitaries, which will now take place on the 24th of March. And what does it say here? Black on white. Archbishop William Joseph Levada will be the first who is going to be ordained. A man from California, born in South America, and he has all chances to become the next pope. Then, just briefly, the announcement also from the Vatican. The Second Vatican Council teaches, and now hold fast your seats now, teaches the Church of Christ is the Catholic Church and remains it forever in all its fullness. And then it continues with the text, the one Church of Christ exists as the Catholic Church and is being led by the successor of Peter and those bishops who are in fellowship with him. More, I don't even want to read here. Maybe this passage here. The Church of Christ is the Catholic Church and remains it forever. That's how the council decided it. This is the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. Then, what shall one say to it? We all know that there's only one Church of Jesus Christ, the Church of the Firstborn, people who have experienced the grace of God personally. But we see it here. It continues and continues. Also, from the Vatican, about the ecumenism and about the meeting of the 3,000 delegates in the city of Porto Alegre. And then it says here, the light of Christ will only be able to shine if we walk boldly the way of reconciliation and unity. We, according to 2 Corinthians 5, have to preach the reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reconciliation within the churches is not the solution. Only the reconciliation with God, as it happened on the cross of Calvary, this is the solution. Then it says here that in September 2007, your wish will be fulfilled. in the European and ecumenism pilgrimage. The highlight will be a meeting in the city of Sibiu, Romania. Everything is very busy to bring about the unity among the big churches and then also among all the others. Then, one more report here. The Pope visits in November 2006 Turkey. And then it continues with the highest man of the Roman Catholic Church in Jerusalem, in Israel. An Arabic Catholic Archbishop, one who knows much, one who has knowledge, and a man who was studying the Talmud, is now on the first place in Jerusalem. Yeah. What shall one say to it? I promised you to not spend too much time with these things. I just want to make the following remark without hurting anyone. If, for instance, the Roman Catholic Church says we are the only church which Christ has founded, we are the church which was handed over to Peter, and we are his followers. Just be honest now. What can the people actually do but to believe what they are told? But only if they don't know the Bible and if they don't know history. And therefore, the divine information from the scripture and also from history. Everyone who studied just one semester knows that the first 3 centuries passed without a Roman church. All know that until the last great persecution under Diocletian in the year 310, when it came to its end, just the Christian churches, they were all scattered and all were persecuted. Only after, in the year 311, the mother of Constantine made her journey to Jerusalem, then came the whole turning point. I am just mentioning this so that all know that no church, doesn't matter of its name, goes back to Jerusalem, to the beginning. And now we have the task to preach the original word, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we are brought back to the beginning. Because up to now, all are living in the dispersion. But one more important point here. And even it's just for information. In all Protestant denominations, the same creed is being recited. Brother Maynard and myself, we had such big eyes when in a Pentecostal church in Manila, the Roman Catholic creed was recited aloud by all the people. Namely, I believe in the one Catholic Apostolic Church. And because they don't look through these things, but they think that this is really the one church. Therefore, they have the desire, at least they have no resistance anymore, to walk their way back to Rome. And this agrees then again with Revelation chapter 17, where the daughters are returning into the bosom of the mother. And the whole thing is called in the Holy Scripture as Babylon the Great. And now, just imagine, we, as the smallest flock, despised as no one on earth, have found grace in the sight of God, to hear in this time His true word, and to believe it, and to let ourselves be aligned biblically. Now, just one word to all who have heard about the Islam. And most certainly we will agree that since the 11th of September 2001, we have received certain information. You also heard that, what the boss in Tehran said, that Israel has no right to exist. And this one has to imagine. Now, this year exactly, 3,010 years ago, David, as king, was ordained. 1996, Israel had the 3,000-year anniversary in memory of David. And then a country which God had given to His people shall not exist, or a people shall not live. Who has the right to decide over the lives of others? But now, just one more point. I've written it down here. If, for instance, people in the Islam believe what Muhammad has said unto them, then they have the information about the year in which Muhammad, I've written down the place, the mountain where he went up into this mountain Hira, and there he heard a voice, and then he came out of the cave, he was looking up to heaven, and Gabriel appeared in the heaven, telling him, "O Muhammad, you are Allah's messenger, and I am Gabriel." He who knows the details here, he of course knows that in the Islam, they claim that it was the last and final revelation which God had to give to mankind on earth. And in this belief, more than 1 billion people are living. And therefore is the big trouble. They wish that the whole world hears and receives this, what they call last and final revelation. What shall we say about it? For us, Jesus Christ is the first and the last personal revelation of God here on earth. All the promises of the Old Testament have found their fulfillment in Him alone. But I just mention this to show you in what kind of inner trouble the people are coming by religion. Being convinced this was that prophet Gabriel spoke to him. And then they're getting in trouble and are bringing others into trouble. Here we have one book which announces in the Old Testament the whole plan of salvation, predicts everything. And then we have the New Testament with the confirmation that everything what God announced and what he promised, that it found its fulfillment. And I like to quote this time and again, that in the New Testament, really, 845 times quotes of the Old Testament are being used. It is just and built up. It was given. And one could almost ask, who has seen or witnessed or heard anything? We, of course, can open up the Holy Scripture, even 1 Corinthians 15, and we can read that the Lord, after his resurrection, he revealed himself to his own. And more than 500 brethren have seen him on one occasion. We have eyewitnesses, we have ear witnesses, we have the men of God who could write what our eyes have seen, what our hands have handled of the word of life. This we declare unto you. There were eyewitnesses, there were ear witnesses. We are just very thankful to God because Jesus Christ, our Lord, says, ye shall be my witnesses. Brothers and sisters, I just mentioned this with these two main religions. The one say, we are the one church of Christ, in which is salvation alone. So, all the others must come back. And the other big religion, both of course, have each more than 1 billion members. They say, the last and final revelation which God gave to mankind on earth. And the people are in trouble on their inside. Now comes the wonderful message of grace, of reconciliation, of forgiveness, the message that we can experience God personally, a conversion, a new birth, that we receive God in our lives, asking him to come into our hearts. Then we have the four Gospels, which are indeed giving us a report from the birth of our Lord up to his ascension. Everything in details. And then we have the book of Acts, the beginning, the founding of the New Testament church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that what was connected with it, with blessings. And then we have the early church as a pattern here in the book of Acts. The Holy Scripture doesn't say anything of a successor of Peter. It doesn't speak of a vicar of Christ. All these things are not in the Holy Scripture. For how much longer can we preach the true word, the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ? We have just mentioned the book of Acts. This is the pattern, the early church. And as we said many times, as the first sermon was, so the last one must be. As the first baptism was, so the last baptism must be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sir, not the global uniting of churches and religions, but John 17, verse 23, Father, you in me, and I in them, so that we may be one. And this is the purpose of our meetings. Here it is not about to agree with some denomination. Here it is about that we agree and line up with God and His Word. Here it is about that we can believe as the Scripture says. And then we have the letters of the apostles, where the life of the church, where the gifts, where the ministries are shown in connection with the perfecting and edifying of the church. And then we have all the various subjects about the end time, about the first resurrection, about the second, about the millennium. In fact, about all subjects which belong to the plan of salvation of our God. Everything in one book. And the Spirit of God leads into all truth. But we must let ourselves be led by the Spirit of God. And then, after all the epistles, we have the 22 chapters of Revelation, where the last things are shown in the international language. It's called Apocalypse, the unveiling of all that, what would take place at the end of the time of grace, or altogether what would happen at the end of this age. And then, there are quickly the Bible interpreters, when they read Revelation 1, that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Then they're writing, this was a Sunday. Yes. And I'm just saying this for one reason. With a thankful heart that God has opened unto us the understanding for the Scripture. If it's written in the Old Testament, be it in Isaiah 13, be it in Joel 2, be it in Zephaniah 2, be it in the prophet Malachi, it says there of the day of the Lord, then we of course know what the day of the Lord includes and what will take place during this time period. What has a Sabbath or a Sunday to do with the day of the Lord? When Paul writes, the day of the Lord comes as a thief, and Peter writes the same. And then we have the overall description, what will happen on the day of the Lord, up to the book of Revelation, chapter 6, from verse 12, where that is written, what was announced already in the Old and New Testament. I just read the one verse here, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And one can read on. One can read on. And the end in verse 17 says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And Peter said it already in the book of Acts, chapter 2. In his first sermon, he said it. And this is also something very wonderful. In the beginning, 2,000 years ago, he had already the overall view. And it's written in Acts, chapter 2, in verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great day of the Lord comes. Just look up Joel chapter 2. There it is written. We've read it many times and we pointed to it. Why do we say this here now? I want to express here by this that I'm grieved in my heart. The time of grace is coming to its end. Mankind is left in darkness. In fact, by religion is being led around God and His Word. Bible scriptures are used as a decoration. And what is the end result? Perdition. The blind are leading the blind. And then all will fall into the ditch. For us, this is a big trouble on our inside. We want to help. And we want to give the last call that mankind is one more time being made aware that the time of grace is coming to its end. And that afterward, the great and terrible day of the Lord breaks forth. Brothers and sisters, we really have received a great responsibility from God to preach the truth of the Word so that even the last ones whom God wants to still call out, that they hear this holy divine call and so that they can follow the Lord. Brother Rus was reading already of this psalm, and I would like to read from Psalm 98, just a few verses, and then coming back to Revelation. In Psalm 96, we were just now reading, sing unto the Lord a new song. In the same way, Psalm 98 starts. Psalm 98, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. He finished marvelous things. I think here on John 19, verse 30, where the Lord cried out, it is finished. It is finished. Marvelous things he has finished. He has done. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the Gentiles. He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. We are still living in the day of salvation. We are still living in the time of grace. But the time of grace had a beginning, and the time of grace will have an end. And we believe, out of conviction, that we now arrived at the end of the end time. And that all of Bible prophecy is right now in its fulfillment. We don't want to go into the political part at all, which pertains to the nations around Israel, and also what happens right now with the nations of the north and of the east. We have enough of Bible prophecy which is being fulfilled in this time. And it does not need to be interpreted anymore. It just needs to be seen in its fulfillment. Then we have here in Revelation, chapter 5, we have from verse 9 the singing of the new song. In the Old Testament, sing unto the Lord a new song. Here, in Revelation, chapter 5, in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. In the Old Testament, sing unto the Lord a new song. Here in Revelation, it is being sung. Firstly of those who are in heaven, and then of all the redeemed multitude from all peoples, tongues, and nations. Brothers and sisters, in recent times, we mainly spoke about the calling out, about the separation, about the being brought back into the original condition. We have made the comparison that God, firstly, has chosen Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. The Lord spoke personally with Abraham. He revealed himself to him. He promised to bless him. Yes, he gave him promises in all the following chapters. And then we see Isaac and Jacob, and we see the 12 patriarchs, and we see how they came into bondage, and how after 430 years the leading out took place, because God said to Abraham, after 400 years I will lead your descendants out of bondage. separated among other nations, but separated as a people, consecrated to the Lord for a very special purpose, namely to announce the plan of salvation. And that what should take place in the New Testament, and looking back, we can say it has taken place to announce and foreshadow everything. And we see both. We see the Old, and we see the New Testament, and we rejoice over that God is watching over His Word. And this He will do until we come from believing unto seeing. Of what is it is about now? It is about you and me. It is about us personally, about each one individually, that we indeed get the connection to God. That we not just have a religion, not having some kind of creed, but that we believe as the Scripture has said, and that we made our personal experiences of salvation with God. That we really are convicted by the spirit of sin, convicted of unbelief, convicted of righteousness. As we are told in John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth will come, He will open the eyes to the world. He will convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And in this moment, where the Spirit of God convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, then the tears of repentance begin to flow. And we are coming to the Lord, as we are dedicating our lives to Him, and are recognizing that the judgment has come upon us, that the guilt was heavy upon us, and that our guilt and sin was laid unto the Lamb of God. As John said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Brothers and sisters, we cannot speak about the completion if we didn't speak about the beginning of how to become a believer. You all know my statement. I would like to repeat it on and then. I wanted to have preached the word in such a way that all who hear the word of God from my mouth, that they are with the Lord. This is the purpose. You're not coming here to hear the words of men. You're coming to hear God's holy and everlasting word. And as written in Revelation 14, verse 6, it is an everlasting gospel. Now, listen closely. The calling out is only addressed to the people of God. And there too we must give heed to. Not in general, like in an evangelistic campaign, but ye, my people, come out, be ye separate. We must belong to the people of God. And to speak like Paul, we must be members of the body of Jesus Christ. Here's the point. The church is compared as a body to the head. And the body, of course, is connected to the head. And the head with the body. From the head, the whole body, all the various members are controlled. And this wants to show us only who really belongs to God's people, whoever is a part of the body of Jesus Christ, will be able to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Therefore, Paul writes, of course, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, because they must be discerned and understood spiritually. And also this we have said, if the message in Revelation 2 and 3 is 7 times addressed to the messenger, then it always says at the end, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. They doesn't say, let him hear what the messenger is saying, but what the Spirit is saying through the word. Also this, we could discern by the Spirit. So, here in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, the separation, the calling out, will only be accepted by people who are ordained to belong to the bride church, having part in the first resurrection. Because only those who belong to the bride church, they will hear the voice of the bridegroom. And therefore also, in Matthew 25, the cry at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And this is the time in which we are now living. And if we also time and again mention that Brother Branham was used by God in a very special way, then we of course are not walking around and saying, Brother Branham said, or the prophet said, but we of course were led into the word, and the word says it. The word is the absolute. The word is the final authority. And this again distinguishes us also from various directions within the end time message. We have been brought back to the original word. Also this we must say time and again. Even the greatest prophet can only be a signpost. But the way is the Lord. The greatest prophet can preach the word, but the Lord is the word. The greatest prophet can preach the truth. The Lord is the truth. Our Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, we have it. We have understood it by God's grace, or it was given to us by revelation, that God, as then, 2,000 years ago, has sent John as a man commissioned by God, called by God, as the fulfillment of that, what is written in Malachi 3, verse 1. But here's the point. In the moment when the ministry of the way preparer was finished, all got their connection to the next ministry and could follow the Lord. for whom the way was prepared, so that bride and bridegroom come together. In the same way, it is with the ministry of Brother Branham, so that everything is brought back into the right condition again. Everything is being restored. But the restoration is God's business. It's God's business among His people, which believe Him at this time. And before the promises find their fulfillment, we must indeed first believe them with all our hearts, and then having part in the fulfillment. Let us read two or three scriptures which show us what it means and what an effect the word has in those who believe it, who receive it, and who then walk in the light of the word. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Here we could read verse 11 to 13. Firstly, it is about our connection to God. 1 John 5 from verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And then the summary in verse 19, 1 John 5, verse 19 and 20. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, earlier on we mentioned the religions. We briefly referred to what they believe of themselves, according to their creed or according to their religion or doctrine. We have here the comparison which John made by saying, we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole religious world was deceived and was lied to until this very day. And the most terrible is, if there is deception and lies in the heathen religions, this one can understand somehow, but that in the faith which was delivered unto us, that in, of course, the word Christendom is not written in the Bible, but let us take it now as that in Christendom, now in 347 different churches are presented different interpretations and opinions and doctrines that are presented to the people. And to all is said, if they believe it like this, as they were taught, then they will be saved. And to those people who's not enough like this, to him is promised the last anointing. And then everything will be fine. How will it be with those people when they wake up on the other side? waking up on the other side, cursing the whole thing because they were misled. Brothers and sisters, eternity is long. If there would be a second chance to correct the matter, then we will not be so serious about it. There is no second chance. As the tree falls, that's how it remains lying. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed for man to die once, and afterward the judgment. You all know, I've been on many missionary trips all over the world. Maybe one shouldn't even say it here, but together with Brother Maynard, I visited the Serpent Temple in Bangkok. And you really start to feel otherwise. There were people directly believe in the brood of these snakes and how they are bowing down and how they are worshipping. It is just incomprehensible. I was watching it in Madurai, India, how the elephant received a 10 rupee banknote and how he put his trunk upon the heads of the people, blessing them. I was in the golden temple of the Sikhs in Amritsar. Like all the others, I took off my shoes. I didn't like to do it, but I had to take off my shoes like all the others. And I've seen what is displayed there. I didn't walk around through this world with blinders. I've seen the world and the religions. I experienced it, so to say, life. And everywhere is adoration. Everywhere seems to be reverence. And yet, all the people are being misled. Tell me, who can still stand this? Who can still look at those things? I'm asking myself, for how much longer will God look at these things? That the whole world is really led around him, going into perdition. If for the Hindus, the cow is holy, then it's fine for me. But I must have also the right to tell those people the truth. And saying, the cow is just a cow. He is the salvation in our Lord. And if one then gets up very early in the morning, like I do it since my youth, I'm getting up early, and goes outside, then one sees how the Hindu men are burning the dung of the cow and are smearing it onto their forehead to consecrate themselves to Krishna. Brothers and sisters, I'm just mentioning these things today for one single reason, that it grieves me. Our Lord and Redeemer called out from all people's tongues and nations. That's how we read it. He called out his own church, a people. And I want us, by that, what was mentioned today, I want us to pray, that we really pray that God shakes the heavens and the earth. That God one more time is doing something, not for my sake, and maybe not also for your sake, but for those sake who are walking up until now on the broad way to destruction. And then we are looking into our own country. And then we are called as people who are rejecting the Holy Trinity. And by this are heretics. What is a heresy? That what the Bible teaches is no heresy. Heresy can only be that what is not being taught in the Bible. And so, we hear confidently, we give here the challenge to all the world, and especially in this our country. Where does it say of a Trinity in the Bible? Where does it say of three divine persons in the Bible who are consulting each other. Where is it written in the Bible that the Father has begotten and born a Son sometime in heaven in eternity? Where is it written a single time in the Bible, Heavenly Son or Heavenly Spirit? But of course, only Heavenly Father, because God has become our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is getting high time that truth remains truth and that lie remains a lie and deception and must be rejected. Then the next point, with the baptism. The huge accusation with the baptism. What is the biblical baptism? As Peter baptized? As Paul baptized? As Philip baptized? Or as it was decided someday in some council? Also this we've said here at this place. And we will sound it into all the world. We of course don't believe in that what church fathers have said in their creed. And by the way, I don't believe in any church. I believe in Jesus Christ, who redeemed the church, who builds the church, to which we can belong by His grace. If somebody says, I believe in the one holy Roman Catholic church, then all right, but what good is the belief in such in a church? What good is the belief in a church? Really, nothing. And this is the point. The obstacles are put into the people's way, and they don't get over these obstacles. And therefore, it is written, prepare ye the way for the Lord. Make straight a path for our God. Cast ye up. Let the people of God go. As written, let my people go, that they may serve me. The same way it is in our time. In Bible days, only believers were baptized according to the Great Commission. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. First believing. Then we come to Romans chapter 10. Who has believed our report? And to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. At this place, we really believe only as the Holy Scripture says it. Everything else, all the others are doing already. There, we don't have to follow them. But our task remains until the end to call out. But before we can call out others, we must have come out first. You can read it in the book of Acts, chapter 13. There a separation of ministries took place. But in chapter 19, the separation of those took place who did not believe. A very important event. Acts, chapter 13. From verse 1 to 3. I just read verse 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, separate me these both men for the work whereunto I have called them. And then comes the separation among those who heard the word and those who did not hear it and who did not believe it. Acts 19, from verse 8. And Paul went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So, first, the separation of those who have to carry the divine message, and then the separation of those who believed the divine message. We time and again experienced it in the various countries. One day comes a separation, and the Lord said, I come into this world for a division, so that the blind see, and those who see become blind. And then the scribes were asking, are we also blind? And the Lord said, if you would be blind, then you would have no sin. But because you think that you see, therefore the sin is retained to you. Let us summarize what we tried to show here in this poor preaching of mine. Just to show that God remains with his plan of salvation. That nothing changes. Not only that our Lord, but every doctrine, every practice, everything. In fact, all of the Word of God remains as it is. And we believe, according to John 7, verse 38, we believe in our Lord as the Scripture has said. Everything else is not for us. Doesn't matter in what religion, in what church. I told it to you recently when I, together with Brother Menard, was in the Catholic University in Warsaw, Poland. And on one day, we had a break. And after the break, there was then the questions and answers. And the first question given to me was whether I believe that Mary ascended bodily to heaven. And the professor was my translator. We were there with the whole class, with all the students of theology. And like out of the blue sky, the word of the Lord came to me. John 3, verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, namely the Son of Man who is in heaven. And I had no choice. I of course know my Bible a little bit, to open up my Bible and to read. And this really struck the people like a bomb. And then came the next question. This question was answered with one verse from the Bible. Was the one question answered. And then came the next questions. There's no need for us to give our own answers. Here is the answer. Here is the answer to every question. Sir, what happens in the world is really deception. And when John says the world lies in wickedness, then this is so. And if we put the emphasis on it, that God, at the end of the time of grace, brings everything back so that the church of Jesus Christ, the blood-bought flock, the church of the firstborn, which as a bride shall be prepared for the coming of the bridegroom, so that she is really restored and brought back into her original condition in agreement with God and His Word. This is actually the main thing within the divine message. And so, it was also said to Brother Branham, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, so you will be sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. One thing more. Please say to no one, my Lord doesn't come very soon. And let no one say, he knows the day and hour. But let us all understand that our Lord said time and again, when you see these things coming to pass, then you know that it is near, even at the door. And so it is. Thanks be to our God, who is watching over His Word, who has fulfilled His main promise for this time, so that everything can be restored again into its right condition. Maybe someone asks now, but this claim many could make. Yeah, all right, let them come. Here's the platform. We can take the Holy Scripture. And it's not a secret here. We are not a monastery. We are an open church. And here the Word of God can be preached freely and openly. But let it be said here, to this Word no one can resist. God is right, forever and ever. And therefore, if all the others take themselves the right to believe what church fathers decided in certain councils of people who didn't know God at all, you can read it. The church fathers, they converted to Christendom. You can read it. Tertullian, of all these people, you can read it. And he converted himself to Christendom. I don't know of any conversion to Christendom. I only know of a conversion to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. Sometimes one has to read also church history to look through these things. And I'm closing with a thought which I already expressed. We are grieved very much. We do not judge anyone here. We do not condemn any man in no religion. But we are grieved in our hearts that mankind was deceived by religion until they wake up on the other side, missing their time of grace. If today there are people in our midst who did not yet dedicate their lives to the Lord, this would be now a good time to do it. God bless us and be with us. Amen. Maybe our two sisters sing us a song. We stand up for it before we pray, to then thank our Lord together. We of course have wonderful songs which the choir is singing, and we have wonderful songs which also the two sisters are singing. And let us have our hearts open and let us tune in on our inside so that God can bless us.
Treuer Gott auf ewig sein, lass die Hand in stillem Fleiß wirken nur auf dein Geheiß. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihn, lass das Wort des Mundes rein, voll von deiner Wahrheit sein. Dein sei Ehre, Gut und Glück, Herr, ich halte nichts zurück. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Dieses Lebens flüchtige Zeit, deinem Preis sei sie geweiht. Brauche hier im Kampf der Welt Geist und Sinn, wie dir's gefällt. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Auch mein Wille, Herr, soll dein, ganz und gar dein eigen sein. Nimm mein Herz, o Gottes Sohn, weihe es zu deinem Thron. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Leib und Leben, Herz und Sinn leg ich dir zu Füßen hin. Nimm mich und ich werde dein, gänzlich und für immer sein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Amen. Amen. Wir neigen die Häupte.
We are bowing our heads and remain in silent prayer. Let me ask whether some are still here who wish to dedicate their lives to the Lord. Raise your hands. Is somebody here? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. How many wish to be ready when the Lord comes? Amen. Let us sing Just As I Am. Dear Lord, we have heard the call. You said yourself, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls. Beloved Lord, you are our Redeemer. Your word also today, it didn't return void, but it accomplishes for what you are sending it for. Faithful Lord, receive all, accept all who are now coming to you, forgive each one, be merciful. And though the sin would be red as scarlet, it shall become whiter than the snow. Wash us all us who we are here today, through your precious and holy blood. May your word penetrate us, and may your spirit lead us into all the truth. Dear Lord, we thank you for your presence. You are still saving. You are still healing. You are still blessing. You are still setting free. We thank you and are glorifying the power of your blood and of your word and of your spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Danke dem Herrn.
Thank the Lord.
Lobet seinen Namen.
Praise his name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, habe du deinen Weg.
Have thine own way with your church, with your people. Call out, reveal thyself, show us the way. O dear Lord, we thank thee for your presence. You are at this place. You have spoken with us. Praise, honor, and glory be unto you in Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah.
And all the people said,
Hallelujah.
And all the people said,
Amen, Amen, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You may be seated.